end of line 12. Av she'omnom, even though Shazayin mitzvos edu that these seven mitzvos kiblu achar katsura cheres the kabbalah satorah al bnei Yisrael, even though these mitzvos once incorporated into the tayag mitzvos created for bnei Yisrael a whole new Torah.
But even for them, it created a new Torah.
100%. It took on new substance of kedusha. Even so, bechol zos hishiru kesher gam leumos olam el haTorah. Because even though the new and intense and deeper meaning at Kabbalah Satorah were applied to these seven mitzvos, so these seven mitzvos were transformed. Don't say that the seven mitzvos up until Kabbalah Satorah are now abrogated, and the goyim have absolutely no shaychus whatsoever with Torah and through these seven mitzvos. It's not so. Bechol zos hishiru kesher gam leumos olam el haTorah. Torah is the province of Bnei Yisrael, but there is a kesher, there is an outlet into which goyim, the whole world, has to plug in. And this is Le'asid Omer HaNavi, this is what's going to be in Yishayo, as Yishayo predicts in the future. V'amdu zarim, strangers, foreigners, will stand, the Ra'ut son of Hem, Sadechem, Mekarmechem. They will go ahead and take care of your sheep and your vineyards and your fields. What do you mean? We'll have workers working for us. It's got, if you have workers working for you, it means that there's some kind of affinity between the boss and the employee. It means yitkansu ha'amim ba'ol ha'mitzvos v'atem kohanei Hashem tikrohu. The mere fact that you have an employee, all right, Avodah Zorah will no longer be practiced by your workers. And Gilui Arayos will no longer be practiced. The pornography of living will no longer be practiced by your workers. And Dinim, a sense of social justice, will be practiced by your workers. And you will be the Kohanim. You will be the ones who are the teachers of this. You see. Line 16, Ulam. However, we've got to look at a second concept altogether of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Yesh Le'Eretz Yisrael Gam Kedushas Avir. The mere breathing of the air, and this is Zohi HaBechina Diskasya, this is what we mean by the inner hidden aspect of things. Asher Yitchila Od Lifnei Nesinas HaTorah V'Lifnei HaKibush Shel Eretz Yisrael. This hidden Kedusha, where the air was kadosh, started before Yehoshua and before Moshe Rabbeinu getting it. Mitzad Yisrael alav b'machshava tchila. It was a theoretical concept. As she sipur shemayim v'oretz hikdimu le'etzem mitzvah satorah. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Sefer Bereishis, and a world was created, and land was created, already there, before mitzvahs and Torah were given to a nation, already there was a kedusha inherent. Mitzad koach maas of yigid la'amo, birtzono, bera'o, ubirtzono nesan alonu. You know what he's referring to? The first Rashi. A Rashi on Bereishis bara elokim. Bereishis bara elokim es ha'shamayim v'sa'aretz says nothing about Jews, and says nothing about goyim. How does Rashi start Bereishis? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak? Right? Rabbi Yitzchak said, you know what we're talking about? Koach Maas of Yigid La'amo. In this pasuk, Sefer Bereishis, in the first pasuk, you know what we're really talking about? We're talking about goyim and Jews. That because Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves HaOretz, there was an Eretz called Eretz Yisrael, and already then it was intended in the Bria to give it to Bnei Yisrael. And the fact that they are in Golus doesn't mean a stack of beans. Because it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is going to say who is going to live in Eretz Yisrael when, and it is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who says that Eretz Yisrael belongs to you, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov forever. Now that has nothing to do with the Avram walking, the Oracle, the Rachba. It doesn't have anything to do with the Izdalia, with demonstrable facts that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Jews. That's a deeper concept that the whole Brias HaOlam was so that Bnei Yisrael should have a little spot on the map that can't even hold in it Israel. That's how small it is. They got to put it in the Mediterranean over there. That concept, that little nikuda, was the reason for the first pasuk of the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'sa'aretz. Simple as that. That's this kasya, that's the concept that you don't understand, that you have to understand. The Zohar is on line 19. The Zohar yitav ri'iyat Eretz Yisrael shel Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go up on a mountain and look from border to border, and he saw it, but he wasn't going to go there, what did he see? That was Bechinas HaSeichel V'HaSaga. The concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in Eretz Yisrael and was Mekadish that Eretz Yisrael. Even though he wasn't going to see the Gush, he wasn't going to be buried in that land. His feet will never touch the actual physical land itself. But he understood the internal Kedusha of it.
That's what they mean when he saw the history.
Yep. Kidvarina La'el Shekolatis Ha'avir Shel Eretz Yisrael. He was able to get the whole spirit behind Eretz Yisrael. Vayach'eyu Hashem Es Kol Ha'aretz. The Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Hazinu, and he was told, you're not going to Veshoma Lotavor, you're not going there, your feet are not going there. But Vayareo Hashem Es Kol Ha'aretz. You're not missing anything. You understand what it is. Asher Ha'avir Lo Tali B'Kibush. You cannot conquer the air. That air, you can have the Kedushas Avir, you can have in Bavel. You see what I'm saying? You can have it in Muncie, you can have it in Pesach, you can have it in Vilna, you can have it in Varsha. You don't have to be there. Kizek kamo nichsoflich nichsafti. And when you're not there, the feelings that just pull you there, that you have to be there, li'os v'sifereh suzecha, to be able to see with the gush, to be able to touch the gush on here. The avir, the air, can be bottled. And even Moshe Rabbeinu in Transjordan, which doesn't yet have the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, he can already understand it. Okay? Vizol, the end of line 20, this is what we mean by Kedusha di Iskasya, understanding the inner Kedusha. Ki ein makirimu mabdilim b'havdala chitzanit bein avir la'avir. There's no way that you can border off the air, that you can cordon off the air, and say, up until the Mediterranean, the air is kadosh, immediately afterwards, no, you can't do that. Can't do that. You can do that with a gush. You can do that with a solid piece of land. You put a border, a marker over there, you have a green line, a yellow line, a purple line, a shvatzio, I don't care what you have over there. That's it. Here it is. This is where the border is. Can't do it with air. So Kedusha Zo and the Kedusha of air, Rak Yisrael Yecholim Lahasig Al Yidei Bechinas HaSeichel. Only because of our genetic spiritual heritage can a Bnei Yisrael understand. A Goy can't understand this. Sheyodim Sheheim Mataras HaBriyah Kula. That you understand that that first post of Gracious Baruch Elohim is so that we should be sitting here and talking to her. That our children should be playing and saying Modani in the morning. That's the Tachlis HaBriya. That's why the Briya was put here. Mitzada Machshova Tchila. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concept was. That this is what should be. Oz Nidberu Yirei Hashem. That those who have Yirei Hashemayim will talk amongst themselves. Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. And upstairs in the Bezdin Shalmala, they're sitting and they're listening to what we're talking over here. The Divrei Torah. Maybe even in the Turikata. Okay? Because the jealousies of Olam Hazeh are long forgotten. In the Ziv Hashchina, with the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you kind of come to your senses. V'lachein, line 24, V'lachein, therefore, bona Avram Mizbeach Lashem Hanirei Lav. And Avram built a Mizbeach at the Akedah. Okay? He built it for a purpose. Because he understood the Kedushas Avir. But Ulam Acharkach Shehalach LaOrka Ularachba. When he walked north and south, east and west, the Kanaas Eretz Yisrael BeKinyan Shachazoka, and he went ahead and acquired it by legal technicalities, BeKinyan Shel Kibush. He went ahead and conquered it. He bought territory and settled it and settled on it. That this was all Bechinas Yisgalus. This is all the manifest. Is Kasu Vayiven Shom Mizbeach Hashem. Then he went ahead and built a Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Kel Olam, And he calls on God's name, Mitzad Helfa'as Hashem al kol ha'olam sheyatza mitzion. This was the total appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the entire world. Kemamar kasuv ki mitzion teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Zehu shnei ha-mizbechos mitzad shtei ha-bchinov shel Avraham. He built the Mizbeach twice. Mitzad shnei ha-kinyonim shel Eretz Yisrael. And he acquired Eretz Yisrael in two ways. Umikevon she'ika tafkid Avraham she'ikna lo lezaro acharov zohi ha-bchinov hiskasya. But since Avraham Avinu's essence was not to go ahead and be a real estate man, what was his essence? The iskasya, the concept that the whole Bria was because God created it and I discovered this idea. Therefore I get the Eretz Yisrael. That's why Eretz Yisrael is mine. Lech lecho le'artzecho le'molad me'artzecho me'ladecho, get out of Bavel. El ha'oretz asher ha'eka, to the land that I'll show you. Lech lecho, Rashi says, le'tovoscho le'hanoscho. Because you discovered the concept, I'll show you how good it is. It's ein hakasu mefarsem tzidkaso kemo etzel Noach. You don't call Avraham Avinu a tzaddik. Noach, you have to call a tzaddik. Because there were no concepts that he developed. He was a survivor. Avraham Avinu develops a concept. Now, says Rav Kook, I made such a deal out of Avram. Remember, we have the principle that what? That as the ovos go on, they get greater and greater. Yitzchak is bigger, and Yaakov is even greater. He says, Lachen af amnom sheikar kedushas Yisrael vishtal shulis hadoros matchila b'Yaakov. Even though the common concept is that we are a nation beginning with what?
Yeah.
Yaakov, the Yud Bei Shvotim, the 12 tribes. V'hanavi omer. The Novi Yeshaya says, Oma Hashem li Yaakov. Yaakov is the one, Asher Padoes Avram. I saved Avram. I rescued him from Avodah Zorah. And v'chol ha'avos nikru b'v'chinas Yisrael. And we must know also that all the avos are God's princes. Sar Keil. Avol mikevon sha'b'china ha'myuchedesh ha'Yisrael zohi shel iskasya. However, Yisrael becomes Yisrael with whom? With Avram Avinu. He is the first prince of God. And it is his concept that you have to understand. Ubechina zo hitchila v'sharsho b'Avram. This subtlety began with Avram. L'chein ne'emar l'Avram v'heyei bracha. You are the source, you are the nuclear hub of all the energy in this world called Torah Mitzvos. That's why we're going to end off with you. V'dorshu Chazal, and this is what Chazal meant, b'choch hosmim v'lo b'chula. Because if you don't get this, that it was Avram Avinu's discovery, Shehikir Esboro, that created the nuclear energy and the perpetual energy, to be able to get this world going, and you miss it. Oh, I understand Yitzchok was greater than Yaakov, and Yaakov greater than Avram, and Yaakov built on what Avram and Yitzchok did. I understand that. But you don't understand the raw energy, the iskasya. That is the secret of all of the energy. Ki chosem ze davar shesagur v'tamir. Chosem, huh?
You're
in
middle
34. No. Ki chosem. Yeah, ze davar shesagur v'tamir. Okay? Something which is chatum. Chatum means closed. Why is something closed and boxed in and protected?
A chosem itself is a secret.
Right. Shesagur, it is closed, v'tamir, so that it is preserved forever. Simple as that.
And a chosem is something. I mean, a seal is something that closes and guards it.
Okay.
Why is there an Israeli company by that name?
Why not? Why not? It's eternal energy. Kasuv, ksov tzur teuda chason Torah. Jews have got to understand that concept, that energy called Avraham Avinu. Osacha bracha ata manchil barishana. That bracha, that energy is going to be passed on from generation to generation. And who was the source of the energy? You were that energy. And that's the secret called Avraham Avinu. Now, can I remind you, the very first time that we sat here, we spoke about the difference between a tzaddik and a yasha. Remember that? Who was the yasha? Avraham.
That's what we said. The gracious is called
Sefer HaYosha. Roma Rav Yochanan.
What'd you say was the difference between a tzaddik and a
yasha? Tzaddik is a tzaddik. He does mitzvahs. Uh-huh. Yasha, it's not what I said. It was what the Netziv said, the Rebbe of Rav Kook. Uh-huh. Okay, the yasha was an Avraham Avinu who was able to go ahead and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and plead for the existence of Sodom and Amorah, knowing full well the disdain for the way they ordered their lives. But they're human beings. Mm-hmm. You've got to give them a shot. I hate the Avodah Zarah, but there's so much there that has to be understood. You see, there's a Tzelem Elokim there. That's the difference between the Tzaddik and the Yosha. It worked out that the tzaddikim of the second Beis Hamikdash were truly tzaddikim, full of Torah and mitzvahs. Bigger than the first Beis Hamikdash, but they were not Yishorim. They did not have this quality of Avraham Avinu. The minute they saw that one put on a gartel and they didn't wear a gartel, and the one who wears a gartel is a Shabtai Tzinik. He's an Apikaris. And this is what brought to the, destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. This is a Gemara that I learned, a page of the Netziv that I learned many times. And I've reprinted it. It's one of those things that, you know, you have to memorize. If you're not familiar with it, Bernard, I'll show it to you. We still haven't begun.
He says, my quote says somewhere, I don't remember now where he says that Yasha, somebody says, like a lab toe. It would fit in very well with this. I mean, that's the part that's... It's not like it's a good deed, but the Yasha has the one that has the hidden part. The Lev is what's told.
Now, in a shorter selection, yeah, you got it. You got it, Joe. In a shorter selection on page 4, while we'll have to go through this the entire explanation that he gives to this Daber Noah, but in a shorter explanation, which comes from Orot in one of his Hashkofa Sfarim, important Hashkofa Sfarim, if you pick it up on page 4, line 7, just a quick review of what we're saying here. Bereshit Mata'o Shela Amazeh, at the very inception of this nation being planted, Hasha Yagda Likro B'Shem Ra'yon Eloki Abaru V'Ata'or. Okay? At the inception of this nation, it already knew the purity of the concept of calling on God's name. And this was in the midst of the most adverse circumstances of Avodah Zarah and of destruction. He went ahead, this concept called Avraham Avinu, and so to speak, although that pasuk doesn't refer to him. Then he started, because he realized you got to yell, he starts to talk about this God concept. Nidgalta hashi'ifa. That's when you saw this yearning, the desire, and get these words on line 9, lahakim tzibur enoshi gadol. What was Avraham Avinu's desire? Lahakim, to establish a tzibur, not just a family, not a shtibul, but a society. Enoshi gadol, a human, a great human society. Asher, dedicated to what principle? Yishmar es derech Hashem la'asot stokol mishpat. And if you have to pin God to the wall at a din Torah, you have the right to do that. This was the concept called of Avraham Avinu. Zohi hashi'ifa. This is the yearning. This is the destiny. Shebo mikoach ha'akara ha'brura. That comes as a result of the clear understanding, the ha'aza, this almost this forceful understanding, v'hatviya hamusarit, the demand for musar, for ethics, hakolelet, from which nothing will escape, not even God. Ethics, a Shulchan Aruch, Stoko Mishpat, you are not exempt, God. You are part of that. And if you're not going to do it the right way, your nation, Amcha Yisrael, and Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, I'm going to pin you to the wall. And the Harama, if you think we are talking like a bunch of Ovdei Avodah Zorah who control their gods, no, sir. This is Rama. This concept is the most lofty of ideals, that even God will have to abide by the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Lahotzi, line 11, et ha'enoshut mitachat sevel nora. This concept called Avram Avinu freed civilization from incredible torturous pain, existential pain, shel tzarot ruchaniot, of spiritual disaster, v'chomriyut, and they're being hooked on the chomer, on the materialism, even to the extent of saying that their God was materialistic, and if you don't play it my game, I will destroy you, if you're not going to play it the way I say. And Avraham Avinu wanted to take civilization, in other words, that sibur, lahaviena, to bring it lechaye chofesh, to true freedom, malei hod ve'eden, full of dignity, and full of serenity, like Gan Eden. And this came as what? Be'or ha'ideya ha'elokit. Basking in the light and in the sunshine of this idea called God, u'la'atzliach pazeh kol adam kulo, so that man's potentials can succeed to its fullest.
It's amazing to me. It's something you just won't find in so much, and things like another. It's good, another four writers, another just writers, like such an emphasis on man. I mean, he talks about, you know, how much, like, all of humanity is struggling here, and how much it's going to be for, like, all of, you know, all of humanity is the visions.
And those who didn't understand him, even the best, called him someone who was gripped by a fantasy which he never got over. I heard those words from, again, one of the biggest Talmidei Chachomim that this world possesses. That's Admeir Vesom Shona, Absimcha Vassaman, the son, the only surviving son of Abba Chana Vassaman. Okay, don't understand. But that's Rav Kook. We'll have to continue on this. I think you drained. We'll have to continue for some questions. I hope the next time I will be able to find, although I haven't found it yet, I must tell you, I will be able to draw some kind of comparison between the concept called Avraham Avinu and the personality of Noach. I may have to draw on other sources, but my purpose will be in the second segment to show you the famous difference and that famous machlokas, that if Noach lived in the time of Avram, would he have been greater or lesser than Avram Avinu? Yesh dolshim osoli shvach, yesh dolshim osoli gnai. There are those who look at Noach and say he was great, and there are those who look at Noach and say, hey, in comparison to Avram Avinu, he's nothing.
It's interesting. It's just today I was looking at the Netzivan, and he takes the word Dotav in a completely, like many, like, so far, like, started with Bereshit, like, everything he takes in a different way completely. Then he says it means that he goes to the distinction between the Tzaddik and the Tami, he says the Tzaddik Gamor and the Tzaddik Lo Gamor, and he says he was Tzaddik Bedoratav, means he was a Tzaddik in the door, he was a Tzaddik in his daily activities with everybody else, and that's the way he takes it.
And Itziv was an original thinker, especially on Chumash. And I remind you that Rav Kook learned by the Nitzi.
On Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Carl Scherer made a bris. And I told Joel the story. So it was in the yeshiva, a small crowd, we went to the sukkah, and Carl's brother-in-law was asked, Adina's brother, was asked to say a few words, and he quoted, in his drash, he was quoting Limitziv. And I got, I got a lot of pleasure out of it. I, for the yeshiva crowd, I don't know, to be hearing from the Netziv is not,
Well, tragically, he is the, but I cannot distort reality. The Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin for 40 years means that for nearly a half century, you were the training ground of every other Rosh Yeshiva in every city and town. I'm talking non-Hasidish, in every city and town on three continents in the world. That's always back. 40 years. In other words, you created a Torah. You are the direct link back three generations to the Vilna Gaon. And no one has yet spoken of translating him into English. That is a travesty.
I was learning, I was carrying it, and so he said, he's very modern. It's just most people, somehow I think, it's not the kind of thing, the Oscar will, run after to, print the rationalism that he has. But he just said, it takes, a new Derek and everything.
Yeah, a new Derek. But a derech for 40 years I trained Rosh Yeshivas out in a derech up until today. I must tell you that his own brother-in-law had problems with that, with the derech. So you know whose brother-in-law was? Reb Chaim Soloveitchik.
And
Reb Chaim left to Brisk. Simple as that. Reb Chaim left to Brisk. But Volozhin remained Volozhin all the time. I remind you who his son was, Reb Chaim Berlin. Rav HaKolel. That's the Netziv's son. And the youngest son from a second marriage is Rav Meir Berlin, known as Bar Ilan. The Netziv is his father. These are his sons.
What is the versification? So yeshiva in
Kamiya. Chaim Berlin was a chief rabbi of Yerushalayim.
Once the Medina was founded?
Way before the Medina was founded. And Meir Bar Ilan was many years younger than his older brother, Chaim Berlin, because the Netziv was married twice. Okay? And the Netziv was family with the Aruch HaShulchan. The brothers-in-law.
Yeah, now they have a book about my uncle, Baruch Epstein, who's I guess who's
the son of the Aruch HaShulchan. But you heard the tragedy with that with the Art Scroll edition of the book.
Yes.
Art Scroll published a translation, an edited translation of the Torah Tmima. You've heard of the Chumash Torah Tmima. The Torah Tmima. The author of the Torah Tmima, who's a son of the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, wrote four volumes of biographical material, which gives you a sketch into 19th century and early 20th century living in Europe, especially the literature world. So he discusses his uncle, the Netziv, who, as I say, was number one in the number one yeshiva of the world at that time. His attitudes towards the maskilim, the so-called reform and conservative, and others, and he was not a protagonist. He always was the Rosh Yeshiva, always trying to get at emes. The way they described in the English translation, and it's a translation of his attitude towards the maskilim, those of the Enlightenment, created a tremendous embarrassment to a certain school in Lakewood, the Cheder. Now it passed Art Scroll's very careful censorship. I must use that word.
Yeah,
and that censorship was still not strong enough, so that after the book was sent out by the Lakewood Cheder, I am told that they then sent a letter of apology to the same mailing list for having distributed a book that wasn't worthy
and they could send it
of
back.
Being distributed, and they should send it back.
They could send it back.
An odd scroll translation of part of Makor Baruch, which was written by the Torah Tmila, his autobiographical sketch. And the chapter, the segment, it was more than the chapter, the segment about the Netziv, the author's uncle, is what was under question, and that was what was translated.
Well, it's called My Uncle Netziv.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the book is called, I mean, no,
the book is Makor Baruch,
you know. Yeah, no, I'm saying English.
In English, they said, My Uncle
Netziv. What's the name of the book?
My uncle the Netziv. All right. And
what is it, Makor Baruch?
The original is Makor Baruch.
Which means what?
Makor Baruch, his name, the author was Baruch. Baruch HaLevi Epstein. Makor Baruch, the sources from which I came, in other words, his biographical sketch of my ancestors.
A district in Yerushalayim, the Makor Baruch.
That's it.
I mean, the same word.
100%. I don't know if it was named after the Torah Tmila or not. I can't tell you that. That's identical, Makor Baruch, and that's the name of the sefer. I have the sefer. It's been reprinted in all sorts of ways.
They issued
a retraction. But here is the cute, because the way they showed the Netziv as being conciliatory you are smart. The Mochus Forum in Lakewood had told Silvio Taranda, who's a Paseo boy, that he never sold more art scroll copies in 1 week after that letter of any and every title. Now, can I ask you, who bought the books? The Reformed Temple?
Yes, yeah, sure, of course.
Who bought the books? The Reformed Temple? So that was cute. That was cute. But look, can I?
What?
It's the same thing, it's the same attitude before. So, Chassid Shalom, you're caught reading Rav Kook, you're
I have to tell you that it's the race that I used to daven Vatikin in the Yerushalayim for another Rukh. And I used to go, before I daven Vatikin, I used to go to the Mikvah, which was run by the Shomrei Hotel, because they live in Givachal, which is, you know, like a half skip and a jump from there. One morning I come in and there's an old guy in the Mikvah, and he's like, you know, he's beaming to see two young faces, you know, in the mikveh, like, you know, Yerushalayim, you know, but thinking it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, early in the morning. So he's beaming, so yes, you know, like, where do you learn? What are you doing? You know, I said, oh, you know, I learn in yeshiva here. You know, where are you from? What are you doing? I said, I learn in yeshiva here. So, he's like, you know, it's 7th Avenue, and he says to me, where do you learn? I said, over here, my cousin Rav Kook. Me, oh, what the
along the same line, and maybe with this we'll conclude. There was a sofer on the east side, Rav Deutsch.
Oh yeah,
the bell steps.
Up the steps, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
He was there 28 years, 29 years on the east side. Went back to Yerushalayim, where he was born. I saw him in Yerushalayim this summer. I brought him a Sefer Torah to fix that I myself took to Eretz Yisrael. I took a Sefer Torah to Eretz Yisrael. I carried it in my hand. That is an experience beyond. That's not for tonight. That's our warm up for the Yirtzeh Hashem next.
An LL one?
I only travel LL. I've never traveled to Eretz Yisrael or anything else. But as I say, that's the warm-up
for next
time, which is probably, which Leah tells more dramatically and more meaningfully than I, because it was a greater eye-opener to her. This is, by the way, not the first Sefer Torah that I took. This is This is the fourth Sefer Torah that I've taken.
Oh, but then you brought it back with you.
No, I'm leaving it there.
Oh, you left it?
This is a Sefer Torah that I used in my father's shul when I was a bar mitzvah, and the shul is this man, and it's his Sefer Torah, one of two, and we decided to take it down, so we're going to leave it. It's going to be given to be fixed up and be given to the shul where Harvey Gibber is
in Gaza.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay. That's exciting.
That's how you know my boss, I know, because you grew up with my boss.
Moshe and I were in the same playpen together. We grew up in the same playpen. In any event, what the issue is, I took that Sefer Torah to him. We were talking, film, mezuzahs, whatever. He says he works for a certain outfit, which is exceedingly well run, and they're all Rav Kuknikas. He said to me in Yiddish, Rav Chaim, believe me, that with all the Chassidish chumras, we don't begin to reach their ankles as to how they have their takanon, their protocol. And if it doesn't fit with all of their chumras, it's rejected. And since he's there, he wants to go and say, Barapi halacha, it is mutter. They say to him, Adoni, ze lo atakanon, that ain't the way we do things. You understand? So who needs the refuah sanefesh and the refuah sakuf of chumras? You understand what I'm saying? It's just one example. Just one example. And those same guys pick up an Uzi and go to Miluim with the same chumrah of pikuach nefesh that they do in manufacturing tefillin and mezuzahs. Ad tan. What are you saying?
Moshe Rabbeinu, we hide. We keep his Torah that that was given through him to us. And at the Haggadah, we don't mention him. Where he was buried, the Torah in the Sod, not to even tell us. Or maybe didn't tell Am Yisrael, the whole Am Yisrael. Because we might worship him like a god, maybe, as you said. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, we mention all the time. And we're even asking, how come at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, the first bracha, we don't say Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? I want to know their ideas. Why are we so interested in the personalities of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and Moshe?
We're also interested in his personality. I mean, his personality is there.
Asking Elu Avos, Elu Nikru Avos. These three are Avos, not the Moshe.
Not Moshe. Well,
Why don't we call him Moshe Avinu, in other words?
And yet all the Torah you said also that you learned from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is not Torah unless it was repeated by Moshe.
Why aren't we afraid that we're going to idolize
Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov?
All of those questions are historical.
Are they historical?
It's as simple as that, yes.
Historical?
Yeah.
That's it.
Very simple. Number one, Michael, Moshe is not one of the Avos because we don't come from Moshe. We come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Moshe was one out of 3 million. No, that's the answer to that.
We're a spiritual father.
Good. So we read the Torah.
Genealogically, we were not.
No, they are true.
That's fact. Nothing.
And historically, that's where it began. It didn't begin with Moshe. Began with them. Moshe got it from somewhere. He got an education, and there were several generations. So that's that.
But we're learning from Kona.
Don't divert me. Let me finish, or I'll forget. I almost forgot it. What was the other question now?
How come we're not afraid?
That's very simple. Because Moshe with Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, we're not going to idolize them and turn them into gods, because they're historical figures who we learn about as children. But Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, it appeared, performed all these nisim in front of our eyes. He was in our generation. He took us out of Egypt. We were going to do exactly what happened with Lahavdil Otol Ha'ish. So, and he must have had such a... If you think Lubavitcher Rebbe has... what's the word? Charisma.
Potential.
What do you think Moshe had? And so it was critical for this man who was gigantic beyond gigantic, without trying to compare him to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, but he was gigantic beyond probably our comprehension, even though a Korach would dare to have a dispute with him. So we don't mention him, but we don't bury him in where we can go find him. That's my answer.
Alright, can I formulate it in exactly the two terms?
Yes.
Alright, can I formulate it in exactly the two terms that we use tonight? The Isgalia and the Iskasia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moshe Rabbeinu was Bechinas Iskasia. Isgalia. Moshe Rabbeinu developed no new concepts. He developed no new concepts. The concept of mitzvah was already practiced by Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. The concept of geula was built on the back of the promise of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. The concept of coming to Eretz Yisrael was a promise that was made to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. He was absolutely non-innovative. He was a technician. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov were the theoreticians. They are the ones who discovered the relationship of E equals MC squared, so to speak, that ideal or idea for Elokit. You understand? When Moshe Rabbeinu asks, you're sending me to Bnei Yisrael, and they'll ask me your name, Mo'omar Aleihem, could you please tell me your name? Avraham Avinu invented the name. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Avraham Avinu understood the concept of mitzvah, lasot stoko mishpat. Moshe Rabbeinu just went ahead as a technician based on this theoretical knowledge which was formulated by an Avram. And he went ahead and he laid down in Megillos, chapter by chapter, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lema, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lema.
Except to refute that, Moshe was brought up in the palace of Pharaoh.
No.
And until he was, who knows, 80?
80?
He was an Ishanov. He was a shepherd. And what you say sounds right, but where did he get it from? He developed it also?
Where did he get it? Vayetze Arachov. He remembered he was Shevet Levi. And Shevet Levi was the only one that was holding on to the Iskasya.
But he didn't learn from them.
Who said? Vayetze Arachov. Vayal Besiblosom. He went out to his people. He knew his father, his real father. He knew his real brother. He knew his real sister.
We have very strange stories.
This was the Iskasya that he learned from Shevet Levi. The concept.
It's like the concept
that was invented. Okay? The theory of relativity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the rest of the world was devised by Avraham Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu only went ahead and he made a factory to figure out how to, with 613 products to sell. The concept was not his. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. What do you say?
I just want to record for the tape that I'm glad that the younger spoke before the elder. I'm right in the rabbinic tradition.
What do you mean?
You recall, it's a rabbinic tradition, even we're in the Sanhedrin, that the youngest speaks first and then the eldest. So I'm glad that I spoke first, because I wouldn't have said it afterwards.
Yeah.
What you're saying is entirely valid.
I like what you said.
The only reason is I tried to pull it in here. I mean, if you're asking, so I tried to pull it into here. Now, I cannot tell you that I can find that in Rav Kook. That may be my second chiddush in life. So, you know, 49 years is not too bad. Second. So, I'll write out, my book will be 2 pages. Side A, and this will be on side B.
Look,
save a lot of binding and printing costs.
Look, the Ramchal study wrote his books, and he said he didn't have any tradition.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah, at the beginning of...
Everybody already knows. In the palace. It almost seems to... I don't know, some sort of similarity. I don't know what conclusion to draw from it. But the stories of the Jewish people are so strange, so weird.